Ian Bessarabi. Ian, a very, very good morning. We're talking the future of work this morning, and specifically artificial intelligence. It's already having an impact on our lives. Is that positive or negative? Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. So we are talking about AI, and of course we know that, of course, artificial intelligence is everywhere. It is everywhere. You know, you go and look at an aeroplane ticket, and all of a sudden you're getting suggestions of hotels in the area. You know, my wife tells me that when she's looking to buy clothes online, she's got a very specific style of clothing, and when she goes onto Facebook, some of the sites are actually recommending that exact style to her, which is incredible, but maybe it's just a little uncomfortable.
So I think for some people, it just feels natural and it feels normal. But as you say, for others, it feels a little bit creepy. And I just, you know, you speak about suggestive advertising. My mom is so fascinated that Netflix knows exactly what she wants to watch. And I just don't have the heart to tell her that how it all works. It's quite enjoyable just to see how familiar she's become with such a genre of film she never knew existed. But the one I wanted to chat about was about manners and artificial intelligence. And this was an interesting one, which, I kind of picked up the other day. Now, most of us have become familiar with our new, I kind of call them inhabitants in our home, namely Google, Siri, Alexa, Bixby. Mm-hmm. And I just initiated it on my iPad there. So there's artificial intelligence at work. And we get familiar with all these new people. Now, being school holidays, it's not.
Didn't understand what? What didn't we understand?
There we go. Wow. See, so that's it's proving its point that, as I mentioned, the words, it actually picks it up from one of our phones in the studio. The point is that as you start to engage with these devices, you start to talk to them like they're humans. And I heard my daughter the other night having a screaming match with Google, and.
Who won?
I think Tully did. She just unplugged Google.
No, you see, that's it. We do have the power at the end of the day. You know, because we can always threaten to drop Google in a bowl of hot water.
Absolutely, yeah. And the point is, I actually took it upon myself to try and test out whether it helps to talk to these devices politely, with pleases and thank yous. And I'm not sure if I got caught up in this whole conformity and artificial intelligence, that I convinced myself that actually saying please and thank you made the device more responsive. Now,
it's so interesting.
The point about all of this is, I don't know if you've noticed, when you do emails or when you respond in certain, there's preemptive, we call it now preemptive text, not predictive text.
Oh, have we changed it? Zanati, did you know that? Oh, rubbish, you didn't.
No,
you're just
didn't.
Saying that. I could see that you're lying. Wow.
Through my teeth.
Through your teeth.
So, Zanati, would you like to explain to us what preemptive text is?
No, I'm fine. I'll leave it to you.
Okay. You know what? You don't, you know, because they always shout at us and they say, let the experts talk.
Okay. All right.
So Zanati's being very respectful of
thank you.
That.
Thank you. Thank you, Zanati.
You see, Zanati, even when you lie to me, I still got your back. Yeah. So what is preemptive versus predictive text?
So preemptive text is otherwise known as a smart reply. And a smart reply is usually something that is meant to make our lives easier.
Oh, it's on LinkedIn.
Exactly.
I love it on LinkedIn. Yeah. Because, like, they know what I want to say.
Yeah, exactly.
They're so clever.
Exactly.
But, oh, I've seen those.
Yeah, you know, it's like, okay. Thanks for that, and yeah. Good luck to you, and appreciate the word, the kind words. And I'm thinking, what?
And that becomes that. Now, we've just become so caught up in our lives that have we forgotten to just add those little words like thank you.
Yeah, Zanati has. I know that. I've noticed.
You're the jab.
Well, excuse me, you got a box of chocolates this morning and didn't offer. I'm just saying. Not that I'm sensitive about it. I'm just saying I did notice that. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
No problem. I can see you're
I've completely let that go.
Yeah, so there's another one coming up. You mentioning about sensitive. There's another one called being socially sensitive. Now, have you heard about social sensitivity?
I'm petrified.
Okay, so social sensitivity is,
I don't think I've got it.
Okay, we probably could work on it. And there's actually AR tools.
All right,
that
tell me
you.
What is social sensitivity.
Social sensitivity is, it's a software program that is being used by call centers, particularly in the US, where they are actually screening. So the software screens the call centers' voices and how they engage with people on the other side. And they give them suggestions on how to be more engaging, using specific words and specific tones and all of that.
It's so insincere though, isn't it?
Well, it's insincere if...
You know, because if you're ranting and raving to City Power and they say, you know, I really hear you and I feel that, you know, and I can sense that you're really frustrated. Well, you didn't use sense it. I'm swearing at you, you idiot. But never mind that. Does it come across as sincere? Your call is important to us. Please stay on the line. Really, do you believe that?
So that's one of the biggest, problems. And if these technologies are doing the stuff for us, we're becoming conformists.
Yeah. It's very, very interesting indeed. I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519 or 061-895-1019. Yeah, I haven't either really, and I certainly haven't watched ETV very, very long time. Not since they used to give away the punchline of movies.
Oh, and there's a Friday Action Night.
Well, there's that. But when they say Bruce Willis sees dead, Bruce Willis is dead in The Sixth Sense. I mean, that's the twist of the movie.
And you're giving it away.
And they're just giving it away on ETV. So it could have been Action Night. I'm not sure. Alright, other SMSs. This is an interesting one indeed. DC says, words are powerful. We often mirror the way others are communicating to us, which isn't always helpful. It is a surface way of communicating. We need to be honest and diplomatic at the same time to actually make a real point, which can be difficult at the spur of the moment in heightened emotions without thinking first. Ian, your thoughts, response to that?
So I think that's the problem. And you mentioned how fascinating or how, I guess, beneficial LinkedIn is with giving you things to say.
It just saves me time.
It saves you time, but often you'll make a faux pas. You'll just like kind of hit enter and wish somebody happy birthday, and it's like not relevant to the conversation. You know, so once again, the problem without thinking and just doing is what I was alluding to about conformity, and that's the risk that we all.
You see, because I always wonder when I respond like that on LinkedIn. Are people thinking that I've actually said that, or do they know that those are just prompts that I've clicked? So, and if they do know that prompts that I've just clicked, then what's the point, really?
So that's always the risk with these. And I don't know if you recall, it's still a phenomenon now, but we went through a stage where every website you'd go to, this little chat box popped up.
Yeah. Did anyone ever use them?
So I think people did until they figured them out. And when I say they figured them out, they realized that they were bots. People. And this is what we call a bot. And when you start writing in Afrikaans to an American website and the thing just goes like crazy or goes very silent, you start to realize that there isn't a human on the other end. So the question is, and not to take away from Sue Jackson's slot about being human, are we really being human, or are we just conforming to what technology is doing? And is it turning us into what we could effectively call ourselves simple machines?
Right, because we're responding, we're being trained to respond that way. So it's almost that it's not machine learning, it's actually we're learning from our machines.
And we're just accepting that this is the way. So going back to what we were talking about earlier about being sincere, are we really sincere in our gratitude when we say thanks to someone and it's been prompted by a machine or by your phone or by your LinkedIn or by Google or whoever? Are you sincerely being grateful to the person on the other side, or are you just being prompted?
I'd love your thoughts. 34519 or 061-895-1019. We are chatting the future of work with Ian Bessarabi, and specifically we are talking AI, machine learning, and actually people learning, Ian, isn't it? That's really, you know, are our machines teaching us manners?
I think they are. And the big question on everyone's mind now is, can technology care? And it's a very.
I think a bigger question is, can we?
Yeah, and
oh, but that's a whole different.
That's a whole different subject. But the wrap up of this, just to put it all into context, because I think we've spoken about a lot of topics, but to like really bring it back to something positive, is that for many years everybody's known about social proof, that it's effectively known as a psychological and social phenomenon where people mirror other people's actions.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll share a phenomenal. There was a very old social experiment that was done where people were put into an elevator, and they were all actors except for one person, and everybody got into the elevator and they all faced the back of the elevator. So they monitored how long it would take for the person to turn around and conform, even though they didn't know why they were doing it, and it happens. Right. There's a much more recent one which was done by National Geographic, which uses a doctor's room, and people are waiting in the area, and as soon as a beep goes off or a buzzer, the lady stands up, and you just watch. They've got a hidden camera, and you just watch how people actually conform. And that just shows that, that
we are conformists.
We are conformists, and we are what we need what to we fit call in. Creatures of nature, you know, we're social creatures, as they say. And, for me, if you look at can technology care, I think technology can help us to understand ourselves better. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of work going into it where they now talk about the advancement of bots. So bots did have a place, and they will have a place. I think they've just been abused in terms of everybody thinks that their website needs a bot and it just becomes an irritating. It's like a fly, you know, you want to just like smack it off the screen. But, I think we're going to move to something called care bots, and a care bot's another one to put into your memory bank. And what technology will do is they won't put words into your mouth. They'll act in all kinds of ways, like to help people to understand themselves better. And if we think about, how society is grappling with what it means to care in a digital age. We've seen some very horrible instances where people have struggled to find their identity in our own community, and people have struggled, and people continue to struggle. The way technology is becoming exponential in the way it can use algorithms, and it can use ways to almost guard you in terms of understanding your social makeup, used in a positive sense, that could actually help people to deal with themselves. And if you think about it, we're already listening to what technology is telling us, even if we don't want to admit it. If technology could tell us a thing or two about ourselves, maybe it could help us to deal better with life than we are at the moment.
It's interesting because we always see people sort of taking these "Who am I?" tests on Facebook, and I'm always fascinated by it. You know, the most intelligent people saying, "Oh, this is really what Facebook. This is, you know, my name means this and that, and I'm this type of person." And I think, you know, we're also desperate to uncover things about ourselves, and technology, I guess, is a way in which we can do that.
And I think it's just the way that it's going to be disseminated. Once you feel, you know, the one thing technology can't do, well, I don't know if the last time your phone actually gave you a hug, but it can't give you that physical.
I don't know that, but I can tell you, I often give my phone a hug.
No, no doubt. Really, and you probably know.
That's something completely.
You probably have a better awareness of where your phone is rather than where your kids are. You know, your phone is always within.
You know what? That is very. I feel like you've just judged me right there, right now. So, Nati, did you sense that?
Mm-hmm.
I definitely didn't get the sense that that statement was without judgment.
I've just been observing you, and I'm not the body language expert you are, but you haven't let that phone go out of your hands.
Well, this is the SMS line, so we do need to be very, very aware of what is going on. In fact, in speaking of which, let's wrap up the sports question. Who was the first unseeded player to win the men's title at Wimbledon? According to David Zimmerman, it is Boris Becker, and Colin S. saying Boris Becker as well. So many of you guessed Boris Becker yesterday. Today, that is the correct answer. Ian Basarabi, thank you as always. Very, very thought-provoking. And certainly gives us something to ponder around technology. 7:44.